Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Joining us on the line is Executive Director of Democracy for Arab World Now, Sarah Lee Whitson. And she's been observing what's been happening in the Middle East, Iran, as well as the Israel's fight. And of course, that outburst by Donald Trump. Sarah Lee, thank you so much for making time for us. Welcome to Point of View here in South Africa.
Very happy to be joining you. Thank you.
Let me just quickly get to what is Democracy for the Arab World Now. Just maybe give us a bit of background.
Yeah, sure. We actually go by Dawn. Dawn is an organization that seeks to reform U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East to end support for abusive regimes. We focus on accountability of abusers, aiders, and enablers, seeking sanctions and criminal punishments against them. And we have a publication called Democracy in Exile that features writers, activists, analysts from the Middle East region talking about U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. We also have a feature on arts and poetry from the region.
So the events over the past couple of days, you know, they've been very interesting to watch. But I think more interesting is the actions by the U.S. That entered this war between Iran and Israel and very quickly pretended to be a peacemaker. I mean, I don't even know whether to call it that. But what do you make of Trump's recent outburst this afternoon? And for us, it was in the afternoon where he said, they must stop now, almost to say, you know, he's the one that's looking for peace. Do you believe that the U.S. is looking for peace in this regard?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. It's really hard to know. President Trump is such an unreliable interlocutor. He is so engaged in smoke and mirrors. He has such a long record of lying and speaking mistruths that for the rest of us on the outside world observing what's happening, we don't know whether to judge this as more of a play, a negotiating tactic, a leverage tactic, maybe trying to placate his MAGA base that is not at all happy with his starting a new war in the Middle East with Iran. It's really hard to say. What we can look at are the facts, and the facts are that there is a ceasefire in place, that Israel has violated the ceasefire, and that Donald Trump expressed extreme anger at Israel and Iran for violating the ceasefire, but appeared to reserve his greatest criticism for Israel. This is not common in the United States. Mm-hmm. I would say that he has done something I have never heard an American president do, which is criticize Israel publicly, strongly, and openly. What we don't know, of course, is the sincerity of his beliefs because of his problematic track record.
And that's very tricky because, as you say, you know, nobody really knows where this is going to lead. Do you think Netanyahu cares or is actually listening to the criticism?
Well, I think he cares a lot. I'm sure he doesn't like the criticism. But the truth of the matter is that Israel is entirely dependent on the United States for its military arsenal. It has made clear that it desperately needs continued U.S. flow of weapons, in addition to the military support that comes from having U.S. military bases throughout the region that effectively serve as a front line of defense for Israel. So when the United States president says, we've had enough of what you're doing, Israel really has no choice but to listen because of its extreme dependence on U.S. military support for its perpetual war making.
So obviously, you know, Iran retaliated by bombing a base, a U.S. base in Qatar. Qatari is saying that the government is saying that they're not going to escalate it. But what has that meant for the relations between Iran and Qatar?
Well, from the news reports, it appears that Qatar actually played a key role in negotiating the ceasefire between Iran and the United States. It seems that the Iranian strike on the U.S. Military base in Qatar was a pre-cooked show for international consumption, allowing Iran to save face, showing that it retaliated against the very massive American strikes on Iran. while giving the United States enough time to evacuate personnel and essential equipment from the military base so that the damage that was inflicted was actually quite minimal. I think that this is really a grand global theater playing out for the masses, except in this day and age, and I don't know when our governments are going to catch up to this. It just doesn't work. We all see and know what is happening in real time in many ways. So the theatrics of it is pretty visible to everyone.
So, what did you make of this entire thing? What was it actually in aid of, in your assessment?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, it was in aid of what Israel's plan has been all along, openly declared on October 7, on October 8, on October 9, and throughout, and that is to topple the Iranian government. Israel is hell-bent on regime change and control in Iran to extend its zone of influence throughout the Middle East region. Unfortunately, this goal, well, fortunately for Iranians and fortunately for the United States, is not one that's shared by the US president or the rest of the world. And so while Israel thrusts forward, seeing the opportunity to move forward with its strikes on Iran, sensing it had an opening, effectively cornering President Trump into allowing these Israeli strikes to go through, it obviously hasn't achieved its purpose, and President Trump has called a halt to it.
And that for me is the issue. You know, what did he think he was going to gain out of it? We all knew that I think that Qatar was not going to buckle, you know, very quickly. And here we have now the US saying, well, okay, stop, stop, stop. What did he think he was going to get out of supporting Israel in this pursuit that they obviously haven't succeeded in?
Well, you know, again, we are resorting to sort of speculation and reading the tea leaves, given the lack of transparency and honesty by the major parties to this conflict. What I've speculated and analysts have speculated is that he went along with allowing Israel to bomb Iran with the notion that it would heighten his leverage and bargaining position with Iran in terms of securing a deal with Iran. Frankly, I think the US and Iran were very close to a new nuclear agreement, and that Israel sent out the missiles, the missile barrage, without explicit approval. But Trump had to backtrack and cover and pretend that this is what he wanted all along. Part of the reason why he is as angry as he is, apparently, with Israel. But I think it's not clear to me, unfortunately, that the United States actually gained anything in the last week of war, not in terms of the market responses, not in terms of the amounts that we spent, the monies that we wasted in carrying out these attacks, and not in terms of any improved negotiating position with Iran. Because if you corner Iran to that extent, then it will naturally conclude that its only option for survival, including for regime survival, is to develop nuclear weapons. So I think it actually harms the bargaining status than helps.
So, you know, just help me work with the speculation here. Do you believe Trump really didn't know that Israel was going to strike? Or was it, you know, the so-called talks were just a decoy? What's your sense of what actually happened to that whole scenario in the initial strike by Israel?
My sense is that Netanyahu and his supporters in the United States cornered Trump. He didn't want to do it, but they kept pressing and kept pressing with the notion that it would actually help the United States, that this was a historic opening, that they would just do this one strike. And he didn't say no. And so that was interpreted as a green light. I think we have yet to see an actual complete factual accounting of what happened. We know that Trump's lack of veto over the Israeli strike is interpreted as a green light. But you know what the exact conversations were and the extent to which Trump's subsequent support for the Israeli strikes was a game of catch up. is not something that we have all of the facts on.
I mean, I don't know, but scientists have said that there is no way of telling for sure whether, you know, what the claim was by Israel that there is, that Iran is very, very close, as they've been saying for years, very, very close to a nuclear bomb, that it's, you know, how true it will be, because all we'll probably get are satellite images. Does that change anything at all if we still cannot prove that this preemptive strike, as they say, actually was meant for, you know, destroying the obviously the all the chemicals that they say that Iran had it at its disposal? Does that matter at all, actually, even?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, the American intelligence assessment that Tulsi Gabbard announced made clear that Iran was not close to acquiring nuclear weapons. And the International Atomic Agency, I think, largely concurred in that, although it did have complaints about access
Access.
and limitations on access to inspection sites in Iran. I think the second thing that we know is that the knowledge and the ability to develop nuclear weapons does not end with an attack on a nuclear facility, a nuclear power facility. We also know from reports that Iran was able to remove the enriched uranium from these sites before they were struck by Israel. I think we the we have to believe the Israeli government and Israeli officials when they tell us that their goal is regime change in Iran, and they will not be satisfied until Iran capitulates to all of Israeli demands, which includes not opposing Israel, notwithstanding its genocide, notwithstanding its ongoing terror in the West Bank. And it must accept what Israel does in Palestine and in the region without protest, without any response. That is what Israel wants. It wants to completely remove Iran as a counterpower to its own government. And that is what it is sought to do throughout the entire Middle East region, so that all we have left in the sad Middle East are failed states, broken states, or compliant and complacent states who are effectively under the zone of influence of the United States slash Israel. Iran is an outlier in that it is not under their control, and that is what this is really about. I really think that the issue of Iran's developing nuclear weapons has served as the pretext for a lot of Israeli rhetoric. But repeatedly, Iran also makes clear that this goes well beyond any concern about Iran's development of nuclear power.
So, to what extent is Israel going to succeed in this plight?
To what extent Israel, well, I mean, Israel has effectively succeeded in distracting global attention from the genocide in Gaza. It has successfully sabotaged the negotiations that were very close to closure between the United States and Iran on Iran's right to develop nuclear power for civilian purposes. It has decimated Hezbollah's forces in Lebanon such that they are no longer an effective response or challenge to Israel in any significant, meaningful way, at least for the time being. And it is poised to move ahead with its plans to depopulate the West Bank, including the destruction of a village with over 1,000 residents that has long sought to destroy, notwithstanding even orders from the Israeli Supreme Court not to proceed. And that is the village of Masafer Yatta. So Israel is proceeding on all fronts with its geographic goals to conquer all Palestinian lands and to expel Palestinians from those lands. It effectively ended the two-state conference that was supposed to happen, the conference that was supposed to decide how they were going to end Israeli occupation in accordance with the International Court of Justice's advisory opinion and the General Assembly resolution giving Israel 1 year to end its unlawful occupation and apartheid rule over Palestinians. So with this strike on Iran, Israel has obviously not achieved its goal of regime change in Iran, or even destroying Iran's ability to develop nuclear power, but it has at least pushed back the issue of Palestine, a ceasefire, accountability for its crimes by several months. And you know, this is the tactic of Israel for the last several decades. Just kick the ball down the road to allow its occupation and apartheid rule to continue, and now for the past 2 years to allow its genocide to continue.
As unpredictable as Trump is, does this outburst perhaps maybe give us a breathing room, just maybe for the interim, you know, to put some brakes on Netanyahu and Israel's intention with the region, as you've just so clearly mapped it out for us? Do you think that's probably going to happen, or maybe this is just something that's just an outburst, and we're going to be back to, you know, business as usual as Israel intends in the region?
Well, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, before, or a week and a half ago, before these strikes on Iran and the complete global distraction, I would have said that we are at a pivotal moment where the international community is moving full force ahead to sanction Israel, to impose embargoes on Israel, to punish it not only for the genocide in Gaza, but for its continued occupation and apartheid rule in violation of international law and in violation of the orders of the International Court of Justice. The Europeans were preparing to cancel their preferential trade agreements with Israel. The two-state conference was scheduled to take place about a week and a half ago in New York City, headed by France and Saudi Arabia, where the purpose of the meetings was to decide on a plan of action. So I think those actions have been forestalled. It seems that the Europeans will not be taking action to suspend their trade agreements or otherwise imposing sanctions on Israel. The conference is postponed until some further date. I unfortunately am not counting on President Trump to impose any meaningful sanctions on Israel. So they have managed to shirk off or postpone or delay a growing international movement to sanction and embargo Israel. That is the best hope for Israel and Israelis. Those measures and mechanisms of sanctions, boycotts, divestment, is the diplomatic, peaceful, legal acts of pressure that can provide Israel with an off-ramp, that can save Israel from the extremists ruling the country, and that can save the entire region, including Israel, from further warfare. Unfortunately, that is not the course that Israeli leaders want, and they want to keep their war going, which is why they have carried out this massive global deflection with the war to forestall and avoid further sanctions against them.
Sarah Lee Whitson, thank you. Really appreciate you taking the time to explain it so well for us. Really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having me.
She is Executive Director at Dawn, Democracy for the Arab World Now. I'll be back with more after this.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.